Welcome to Between the Lines, where we explore the rich tapestry of the Bible's teachings and revelations with your hosts, David and Jonathan. Thanks for joining us on WVFF 97.7 FM as we seek to understand the deeper meanings behind the verses and discover the love of Christ and hope of His salvation. Without further ado, our hosts, David and Jonathan.
Hey, good morning. You're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, God's guide, post, and map for you to get to where you need to be, because this is the temporary life, and the one ahead of you is forever. So do a good job and read it once in a while. Chapter 23 of the book of Exodus. We've gone through Genesis, and we're into Exodus. We've watched the children of Israel come out of Egypt. They've gotten across the Red Sea. They've seen all of God's wonders and power to preserve them and to bring them forth. And we've also noticed that there is a reoccurring theme with the children of Israel, that one moment they trust God, the next moment they are, woe is me, trust God, woe is me, we're all going to die. It seems to be a reoccurring thing. So God decides that the first covenant that He gave Israel, that He gave Abraham, was not quite enough. He said, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. It was that easy. But He sees these people cannot follow Him with all their heart. Because if you follow God with all your heart, you don't have domestic squabbles with your neighbor. If you follow God with all your heart, you don't steal and rob and do bad things. If you follow God with all your heart, you do not get the young maidens pregnant out of wedlock. It's a matter that was the original covenant. Follow me with all your heart, and it will make your paths clear and clean, and you will have no troubles in this life. But He sees these people cannot do that, so He's putting the law into effect. And the law will become a giant instrument of bondage that these people will love. The absolute freedom that God gave them, they couldn't deal with because they could not follow Him with their heart. So He's going to put bondage on them, and they're going to grow to love the bondage of the law, even though the law eventually leads to death. Chapter 23, Book of Exodus. Thou shalt not raise a false report, but not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Don't be liars. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. So, when the mob is wrong and doing bad things, don't go along with them. Mm-hmm. And don't get up there and support them with your speech. Mm-hmm. How often do we see that?
Yes, sir. Lately, especially within these last few years of the government getting on TV.
Yep. Isn't it? Absolutely. Trump is a Hitler. Yes, Trump is a Hitler. Yeah. What did he do to become Hitler?
I don't know.
He's a Hitler.
He came to the NAACP.
Yes, yes. It's, oh my gosh.
I know.
It's crazy. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. You know what? If the poor man is doing the best he can, leave him alone. Help him out if you can. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Imagine that. This Bob, your neighbor over here, you can't stand him. But his ox got out. God says, get a hold of the animal and take it back to him. Don't go in and tell your wife, hey, Bob's ox is like 3 miles down the road.
Yeah.
If thou see the ass of him that hath thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou wouldst surely help with him. Just don't return evil for evil. If someone has a hard burden on you, and you can see where you can help them out, help them out. Don't return evil for evil. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent of righteousness slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. If you see something is wrong, keep yourself from it. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. Yes, someone gives you a gift for going along with their evil deeds. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Also, all these politicians.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. You remember when you guys went into Egypt, how odd it felt not to be in your own land, and how discomforted you were being among strangers? Well, remember that when you see a stranger, make them feel welcome. In 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. You know what? God gave this message 4,000 years ago. And in just the last century, farmers figured out you cannot drive the soil every year. It will get burned out and it will stop producing.
But you have to let it rest.
You got to let it rest, you know. I mean, it's right here. Good farm management. We should plant this field for 10 years and the cotton just like I'm just tiny now. The plants only get up to your knee. What's the deal?
No nutrients.
Well, look at Exodus 23 and read it. Read that for farming?
Yeah.
Imagine reading the Bible for farming.
Right.
When you read the Bible for every application in life.
Yes,
it's
sir.
All in here.
Yes, sir. Every one of them in life is in here.
6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. The human body burns out too.
Mm-hmm.
That thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. Pay attention to all these things, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month, Abib. And in that thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy male shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. And they do that.
Today.
Yes,
yes,
they
sir.
Do.
I think they do it intentionally.
It is done intentionally, and it's a very, I forget the name of it, but it's a very expensive cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And God says that is an abomination. Verse 20, chapter 23, Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place where I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel, look at the lettering on that angel.
Capital.
I do believe that was Christ himself under an assumed name at that time. Well, under one of his previous names.
Yes, sir.
For mine angel, capital A, shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and to the Hittites and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off, because what we learned earlier is these people were also at one time followers of God and had a covenant with them, but God said, they have transgressed against me, and at a certain point they will transgress to the line, the red line that I've drawn, and at that point I will give you the land that they inhabit. That's why I'm sending you for 400 years down to Egypt, to let these people run their course. Okay. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Utterly overthrow them. Remember, because that will be a reoccurring theme as Joshua goes into the land to take it. God says, do not let any of them survive.
And don't leave one brick.
Yes. So it's just utterly overthrow them completely. And he didn't tell them because there are bloodlines there that do not need to be intermingled with you. The seed of the servant, back to first book of Genesis. There are bloodlines there that I do not want mingled with my children. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. It's going to be a slow process, because you are not sufficient in number to occupy this great land. I mean, we've got 2 million people. The book of Exodus said it was 600,000 men plus children and women, and the good estimate is about 2 million, but he said that's not enough to occupy this land. And I will set the bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land unto your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Remember that one there. Thou shalt make no covenant with them. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. So he says, I'm going to send you in, suffer none of them to stay or live, and make no covenants with them. Two rules, which they will break right away as soon as this starts. They just cannot. And it is a theme with humanity. Humanity cannot follow God's rules. And no matter how stringent he made the law, and it turns into a monster of a horrible thing of bondage.
And I don't believe that was his idea to start with. We talked about that.
It wasn't. The original covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Because if the heart follows God, you stay in line and you don't do bad things. But as he seen these people were hard-hearted and unable to do the simplest thing of follow me with all your heart. And that doesn't mean you're going to be sinless. Maybe you don't have the power over certain sins, but if the desire in your heart is there to overcome these things, God sees you as pristine. That's what people don't understand. Oh, he's a Christian, he sins. Oh, you know what? His heart is something only God can judge. Amen. You know?
Amen.
And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nabad, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. Today. Yes. We'll definitely do everything that God said today.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. You ever leave a church meeting and you're all fired up?
Yeah.
The next day, that old sin that just torments your life comes along. Some of the fire is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And went Moses up, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up with to me unto the mount. Remember, they were still there in the foot of Mount Sinai. And be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And you remember from a few chapters over, God spoke the Ten Commandments to the people at first, and they were terrified. They were had come up to the foot of the Mount Sinai to begin with, and God, by the time God started speaking, they were way off in the distance.
Yep.
And then they, the first they wanted to come up there, and Moses said, no, God said, you can't come up here, you'll die. But, you know, people, they were curious. We want to see God. And by the end of that day, they said, no, Moses, it's better that you talk with him. Yeah. We'll stay over here.
You let us know what he said.
Yeah. Just take notes. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And you notice that Moses no longer needs his crutch, which is Aaron.
Yeah.
And he graduated from Aaron about two-thirds of the way through the plagues of Egypt. God had instilled some power and when you got more confidence.
Yeah.
It became more confident. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and get him up onto the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I can see the Israeli news reporter over there. The cloud is descending, and Moses is walking into the cloud. He's gone into the cloud. We totally can't see him anymore.
Absolutely.
All right. And then a vigil starts. Everybody just stares, waiting to see if Moses comes out alive or not.
Well, they're getting their party supplies ready, too.
Not quite yet, but yeah. That it takes at least 48 hours for doubt to set in with the Israelis. Yeah. And the Lord spake, they have good intentions the first day.
Yeah.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, oil of the light, spices of anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall it be length thereof, and a cubit and a half, and breadth thereof, and the cubit and a half, height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. You remember when they were leaving Egypt, God said, I will place it in the Egyptian people's hearts to shower you with gold and silver. And now he's telling them to bring some of their gold and silver to make items for the tabernacle. So we see now there was a master plan, as this entire book is completely orchestrated. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. Thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, and the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be on the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. Thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work. Thou shalt make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shalt thou make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. Thou shalt make it a border of a hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Thou shalt make it for 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners and on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And you see, Moses is graduated to shorthand at this point. God is just yammering away. Detail, detail, detail. And Moses is just writing and writing and writing. Probably not. Because I have looked at these instructions, just like the instructions for building the ark. Mm-hmm. Noah had to get a spiritual download to build that ark, because sure, God gave him the crucial dimensions, but unless he was a shipbuilder, which I don't think he was,
right,
there had to be a spiritual download, and yes. God obviously puts out the basic order here, and then the spiritual download is put into the actual craftsmen that start building these things.
Yes, sir.
And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower. So in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob upon 2 branches of the same, and a knob upon 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. their knobs and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Quite an undertaking for a goldsmith. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they might give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, and with all these vessels, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which he showed thee in the mount. So there's the spiritual download, which he showed thee. Moses was given a visual impression of all these things that God has commanded them to make for his tabernacle, because he wishes to dwell among his people. Here, David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. Understanding the Bible, this magnificent manuscript, you must read. You read it slow, you read it methodically, and you read it over and over, and you ponder every word and every sentence, and God will give you spiritual meanings amongst these carnal things that happen in the words. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims. Of cunning work shall thou make them. Do your best work. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of one curtain, from the selvage to the couplings. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain, in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain, that is, in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one to another. And this is also a lot of testing here, you know, to see that these people are going to follow God's instructions to the letter.
Right, now 48 loops.
To the letter, exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha.
And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. Thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make, and the length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11th curtain shall be all of one measure. Thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. Thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost of the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. Thou shalt make 50 thatches of brass, and put the thatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. You know, have you ever bought one of those party tents? It's got the 50 poles and odd assortments, and comes with the one printed page of instructions. And frustrated halfway through, you just start trying things, and eventually you get some sort of tent built.
That's resembling a tent.
Oh, yeah, but can you imagine? This is so specific. And I can see all these different craftsmen bringing the curtains and the thatches and all the things, and the truck stops and forklift unloads on just 16 different pallets of tent.
Right.
And then drives away, and the priests go, "Oh, where's the instruction manual?
Yeah.
Who's going to assemble this?"
It's in Moses' head.
Yeah, there you go. And the raiment that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, and half curtains that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. Thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, and a covering above it badger skin. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall be in one board set in order one against another. Thou shalt make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he says, oh, they killed all these badgers and these all these poor animals and rams and took their skins and all. And I can see these little critters up in heaven saying, that's my skin right there covering God's tabernacle.
Yeah.
You know, how awesome is that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side, southward. Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. Clamps. That's what the tenons are. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. I just hope that when these 15 crates of tin got dropped off the truck, that there were more instructions than just what we're reading here.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
Yes. Oh, that's for a side. What's that stack for?
Have
a
you
side?
Found,
how do we put
found,
it? No, that's for a
yeah.
side.
Have you found the sockets yet?
Yeah.
How about the tenons?
Yeah.
If we figure out where the tenons are, maybe we have some little bit of direction here. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above, and the head of it unto one ring. Thus it shall be for one bolt. They shall be for the 2 corners. They shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. Thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 of the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars of the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the board shall reach from end to end. But I tell you what, God did the spiritual downloads to those involved in the construction of his tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
When those items arrived, they knew exactly what to do with them.
Well, I'm sure.
And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made. And it's twice he's referred to showing Moses the construction of this. And I guarantee you, Moses seen the children of Israel putting this together. Just like John seen the last days of this world. Because God is traverses time. When God showed John what happened in Revelations, that means you and I were dead.
Yes.
It's a vicious loop there, isn't it?
Yes.
Stuff that science fiction is made of.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration.